The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Two receivers left, one right. A handoff to Michelle, coming to the near side. Flips it back to Myers. He's going to throw it to the right for Cam Newton. Makes the catch at the 7. Inside the 5. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots. On the second TD toss by Jacoby Myers.
Best throw all day right there.
That was a sweet throw right there.
Duke could spin it.
Jacoby Myers. I did enjoy Jacoby Myers talking about what he did when he started converting to receiver and watching YouTube videos of Keenan Allen. I saw some of those quotes over the weekend. Yeah, he could throw it, though, man. That kid could chuck it. I want to see more of that in the coming years. I'm on board with Jacoby Myers sticking around.
Oh, look at you now. Yeah. I thought you hated Jacoby Myers.
Jacoby Myers fan club.
You know what they need? You know what the Jets need? They need an Ernie Adams. Because that guy,
why?
To Jim Lyle's credit, look at him. He's taking drop back pass. He was warming up at quarterback prior to the game. He and Cam Newton were throwing.
Yeah.
One guy looked better and one guy didn't. That's the, again, getting back to not to pile on Cam here, but there's your favorite receiver this year who spins it better than you mechanically. Yes.
Let's go to Kyle in Rhode Island on Nikhil Harry to start the second hour of the show today. What's
this
up,
Kyle? Better be good. What do you got?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Happy New Year. Welcome back. I just want to see you guys' opinion on Nikhil Harry not coming back next year. He's been absolutely awful. He sits down when he pees. You know, he's
oh, okay. Well,
that's a bit
wasn't
much.
That good. Wasn't that good. But here's what I would say about him potentially coming back next year. I hope not.
Mike Reese wrote?
Yep. Yeah, Mike Reese raised the possibility of him getting traded to Arizona. Arizona was apparently in love with him.
Where'd he get that
before
from?
For the draft. What?
Where'd Reese get that from?
Oh, the Patriots.
I mean, just like out of the blue, Reese never hypothesizes.
You should trade
this guy to this team or that team, you know, or does a mock draft. No, just randomly in my notes. Huh, they should trade him to Arizona.
Yeah. Hey, if that's true, if there is some level of interest from Arizona
Chandler
for Nikhil
Jones,
Harry,
yeah.
That they want Chandler. Him. And you see this all the time where a guy gets a first-round pick, he doesn't work out,
yeah.
And he gets traded to another team for a change of scenery. I think we've sort of seen that here. I mean, Kyle Van Noy was a first-round pick in Detroit.
Right.
He didn't work out there. He worked out here, right?
Didn't we get Joe Tooney and Malcolm Mitchell from that Chandler Jones trade out there? Or one of them?
I would say that's a different situation, though.
Okay, I mean,
contract. He worked here.
As far as history of working with Arizona, you know.
Oh, you mean are the front office guys the same as they were a few years ago? They've had a lot of change over there.
Yeah, but I think the front office is good. The GM's good.
Yeah, Steve Keim is still there.
Keim.
Okay,
yeah.
So whatever the case may be, if they've got interest in Nikhil Harry, what will it take for you to send Nikhil Harry to the Arizona Cardinals?
Three or four.
I take any draft pick. Any pick at all. What do you got?
He's a former first rounder. I'd take a 3 or 4.
Four? Great.
Yeah. Yep. Do it.
Here you go. We screwed up.
He limits you so much offensively. He limits everything that you want to do in a passing game.
Yep. He's just not a fit here, and he's not going to work out for us. So if you guys want him, have him.
This guy's not going to, in year three of development, find speed. Or make his big feet chop at the line quicker.
And I prefer that he's elsewhere and not on the bench here, Zoe, or not on the roster here, because there will be a temptation to play him.
That's the problem.
It's an issue. Like, he got playing time this year that he didn't deserve.
Do you know he had 32 snaps?
Get him off the field.
He had 32 snaps yesterday before they even looked his way. look, former first round pick, 32 snaps.
Yeah.
I'm just going down and blocking before anybody looked your way in a passing game.
Is there any other way to utilize him?
Tight end.
Seriously, why not? You had a tight end out there playing.
I'll tell you why. Because you got two rookie tight ends that you should be focusing on developing and getting up and running.
I heard you and Gasper talking about this on the pregame when I was heading in.
Same reason, really.
Gasper said he got better. Gasper tried to tell you N'Keal Harry got better this year.
Yeah, but hold on. You're not doing Gasper justice.
No.
Because I said, how? I said, how did he get better? And he said he was on the field.
No. He was more explosive last year.
Year two is better than year one simply because he made it onto the field? That's the level of, like, expectation?
That is pathetic how the bar for that guy has been raised or lowered.
Was he explaining how he got better? Like, how was he able to get better?
No, he said he got on the field.
Because he was on the field. Or just him being on the field shows that he was better.
No. It was sort of tongue-in-cheek the way that he said it.
Okay.
Zoe's making it out like he was trying to make a case for N'Keal Harry. And what Gasper was really trying to do was annoy me because I was saying that the team is worse now than they were a year ago. It was all because Gasper will twist himself into the biggest pretzel with so many different knots trying to defend Tom Brady at all costs. That's what it comes down to. And my argument was that the team was worse this year than what Brady had a year ago. And I don't know. He was trying to make some convoluted Brady argument about how Brady's the best and no one should ever say anything that even resembles a negative comment about Brady. That's what
it basically
was.
Oh, my God. I might get crab legs for Saturday night, 8 o'clock. Crab legs, some steamed spinach.
You want to trade Harry, that's fine. I just don't know what you're going to get for him.
I don't care if they get anything for him. I would cut him. I'm not even kidding.
Okay.
I would just say see you later. If no one wants him, I'd move on.
You're not going to get a third rounder for him.
I don't think you are. I think Zoe's is cautious. You're a little over-optimistic on this. Overly optimistic.
I'm wishing for a third. That's what you asked me. Like, would you? Definitely not a two. You know?
Well, yeah.
Belichick and Ernie should go out and do cartwheels if they offered a third.
You're talking about getting Jimmy Garoppolo for a two. It's like, N'Keal Harry is only one round worse than that. Come on.
No. Yeah, you're right. No. The guy was more explosive last year. He had more explosive plays last year. At least you could see maybe, there's an upside if they get the ball in his hands.
Go
ahead.
No.
Yeah. I mean, it's nothing yards after catch with him. It's catching down.
That running stuff this year, right? Remember all the end-around stuff they ran with him? Or just got to get the ball into his hands? I guess not.
Jet sweep. Yeah.
Stan in Medfield is telling us to stop with the Jimmy G talk. Hi, Stan.
Yeah. What's up, guys? Yeah, I just think it's like this obsession with the fan base. It's like we have to know where we would be with Jimmy Garoppolo. The dude is fragile. He gets hurt every year. Do you really want to bring that type of player on and just watch him get hurt again? What was it? His ACL, his shoulder, his ankle. The dude plays like an average of 6 games or 4 games a season. Like, you're setting yourself up for failure again. It's this obsession with the fans that they have to know if we would have been better, if we would have let Tom go 5 years ago, it's not going to benefit your team.
Okay.
Oh, let's look at the mechanics in the picture. Ball's up around the ear. He's got his elbow up. He's got the point going. Formatically, everything's in line. I would pick that over what we had this year. Yes, that's why we're talking about it. I wanted Tom Brady over this guy, though. There's no doubt that they made the right decision keeping Brady over Garoppolo. But don't tell me Bill didn't think that he had the next guy. Like, we wanted to keep him. We just couldn't. Time was up. Couldn't keep him anymore. And we found the best place for him. Who does that about a backup? That was the guy. Now it's time to come back. It's time to come back home. Come on.
Come on. Hey, Zoe, do I sound glitchy right now?
You do.
A little bit.
Why is that?
I don't know. I'm getting the robot.
You're popping.
Voice.
Well, Matt, yeah. What's weird is I don't. Maybe and Artie back there in studio. Do you hear the glitch? Because sometimes when we glitch, we don't hear the glitch.
No, I hear it every once in a while.
Okay.
I'm hearing everyone as a robot right now, which is really fun.
Oh.
I'm hearing what you're saying, but it's coming as a robot voice.
Nobody else hears that.
That's funny.
See, Jim's like, nobody else hears that.
I heard the caller is a robot. I heard Zoe is a robot. I'm hearing heart. But I'm still hearing what you're saying. So it's really strange. But I would just say that if Stan thinks that fans are obsessed with it, what do you think Bill is? Like, fans don't have any personal connection to drafting him and having that be their decision and on their resume professionally. Bill Belichick is personally involved with that.
Yeah. See, quarterbacks with ACLs, once they fix it, that thing's as strong as ever. That's not going to come back. Ankles, they happen throughout the course. Shoulders, he's past that. He should be healthy. And the biggest thing is the guy got paid, and he got some experience out there, and he played at a high level to take a team to a Super Bowl. You could say, okay, he didn't do anything in an NFC title game, but he did something. He did enough there to pop him in. So you got a lot to work with there, and I think the player's still young, and he got a lot of football left.
Chris,
it's ideal.
In the car today. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Happy New Year.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah, I get what you guys say about Garoppolo, that he knows the offense over here. But, again, he's proven that he's injury-prone. Why would we want him back?
Well, I think Zoe just sort of hit on that. Because I don't think injuries are all predictable. I get it. He's had a long injury history. I don't think his ACL is going to snap again.
No, they fixed that.
And he's better than anything the Patriots have by a long shot.
Yeah. Do you know what we just went through? Do you understand what we just went through offensively? I mean, get past the hat and the nice guy stuff and the charisma of it all, and tell me what it is after that. They are some of the worst mechanically unsound quarterback play I've ever seen. We can't do this again.
No, definitely
anything
not.
Is an upgrade. Anything's an upgrade.
Paulie in the truck. Paulie in the truck. Welcome
holy
back,
crap.
Paulie. Happy New Year.
Today is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. Happy New Year, lads. It's nice to be home. I missed you guys. And, you know, I listened every day.
You sound great.
And, how do you get the picture I sent you?
I did, yes. Thank you.
Pretty cool, huh?
Yes.
That's been in my garage for like 15 years.
Oh, the...
Unbelievable, huh?
It's great.
Hardy,
no clue what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But anyway,
it's good for the show.
Don't worry about none of that. I forgive you. I love you, man. Don't worry about it. All that crap. But anyway, can I talk about the quarterbacks?
Yes.
All right, we got. So I'm with you 110%. Garoppolo and Smith should be your veteran backup. I think he'll continue to that leg will continue to strengthen itself. He's a guy that won't turn the ball over. And I keep staring to it. I think that Smith is the kind of guy with his history, the kind of he's a power of example, lead by example type of a guy. I think he's a guy that may be able to help stabilize him and help him continue to develop. I don't give up on him yet. He's only a second year player, has hardly seen the field. You got to continue to work with him in a sane system. It was insane this year. He really hasn't gotten a break. He's been just sitting back. I love Glover. He's turnkey, but I'll tell you with that 15th.
Bingo. Let's stop there. 90 seconds of madness there.
he's back.
But I like his take. Here's the take. This would be the quarterback room. Garoppolo, Alex Smith, and Jarrett Stidham.
Why would you bring in Alex Smith if you're
couldn't you live with that?
No, I would rather bring in a veteran and another young guy and Stidham.
Okay, but there's the potential that all the young guys that are good in the draft are off the board by the time you pick.
I don't think it's reasonable to think that you'd be able to bring in Garoppolo and Alex Smith.
Why not?
What about Garoppolo, Hoyer, and Stidham?
No, I don't want Hoyer. I don't need Hoyer. I don't need that. No. In fact, I don't really need Stidham, but I mean, if you want to keep him around as your third string guy, whatever.
Right. Like but
let's focus on the top two. If it were, I know it's a long shot. I know it's probably not going to happen. Okay. We all realize that. But if it were Garoppolo Smith, you'd be in good shape. I'd take that even with the oozing leg, Zoe. Even with the leaky leg.
Well, yeah, then forget it.
I can't bring him in with the leg. I can't. You can't do it.
I don't know if you guys were up for that end of that game. When they jumped off sides at the end of that game, and the guy just crawled over and like knocked Smith down. And I was like, ooh, like it was one of those reactions. Like,
what do you do if you touch it? You feel the bone or like
you could see the grimace from Smith as soon as he touched the leg.
I can't do it. I can't do it.
I can't do it. So grossed out by the leg.
It's like one of those, the tree company that comes to your house and they shred the tree. They put it through, like that thing's put through a shredder.
You're convinced that the leg smells, aren't you?
I'm convinced it leaks and it smells. Yes.
Yeah.
And the dog's down there playing with it. And he'd wake up in the middle of the night, dog's licking it.
At one point, that was true. It's not true now.
I know it's not true. Don't tell. I can't. I see the little wraparound brace through it underneath the tights that he wears and that compression, that huge leg compression, and he swings that leg. I give him so much credit for playing.
That guy's got balls of steel, man. I'm telling you.
I'm so excited when he threw that touchdown to McLaurin. Yes, that takes some freaking guts, man. I don't have what he has.
But I'll have what he's having.
I can't. To watch him in shorts here. Oh, my God. In camp. Put your pants on.
Brady
never wore shorts here.
Yeah,
you know that?
We've got to catch up on something from when we were out.
What's that?
Zdeno Chara is gone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Zdeno Chara is playing for another hockey team. We'll touch on that. And also, Read and React is coming up at 11:36.
Ooh, nice. Now I get in there, got a cleany leg.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Two receivers left, one right. A handoff to Michelle coming to the near side. Flips it back to Myers. He's going to throw it to the right for Cam Newton. Makes the catch at the 7. Inside the 5. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots. On the second TD toss by Jacoby Myers.
Best throw all day right there.
That was a sweet throw right there.
The Duke could spin it.
Jacoby Myers. I did enjoy Jacoby Myers talking about what he did when he started converting to receiver and watching YouTube videos of Keenan Allen. I saw some of those quotes over the weekend. Yeah, he could throw it, though, man. That kid could chuck it. I want to see more of that in the coming years. I'm on board with Jacoby Myers sticking around.
Oh, look at you now. Yeah, yeah. I thought you hated Jacoby Myers.
Jacoby Myers fan club.
You know what they need? You know what the Jets need? They need an Ernie Adams. Because that guy,
why?
To Jim Lyle's credit, look at him. He's taking drop back pass. He was warming up at quarterback prior to the game.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved. Over.
Now,
if you want to get weird sometime together,
Zolak and Bertrand.
Back then, you knew not to touch it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We had certainly offered a contract to Zdeno months ago, and he indicated he wanted time to continue to work through, again, where he felt he was at, where the league was at, the return to play protocols, and what the role that we were describing and hoping to integrate him into with our hockey club, as we saw it and what our internal plans and discussions were moving forward.
I just felt that I had more to offer. I respect their decisions and wish them the best, but I just felt that I can still play regularly and play the games, and I have no issues of them going in a different direction. I just feel like for me at this point in my career, it's better if I continue to play.
Close, by the way, what, 10 days from now? How many days until their first game?
January 14th.
Yeah,
practicing right now.
We still don't know what time the games are, though.
What's today's date? The 4th, right? The 4th, yeah, 10 days. We're 10 days out. Zdeno Chara doesn't play for the Bruins anymore, but he's still playing hockey. That's weird. Didn't expect to have that happen.
At a cheap price.
$795,000 for the year, and he's with the Washington Capitals. He's not here. He's elsewhere. Ooh. What the hell happened there? What seems like, went down?
To me, it sounds like there's some confusion as to they wanted to move in a different direction, but they said we made him an offer. He didn't accept it. And...
Well, it was a question of, like, reducing the role and not being able to play the number of minutes, which doesn't really jibe with still being a captain. And I don't think it's money. I mean, the amount of money that he's making with Washington is certainly any team could afford. It's who wants Zdeno Chara to play that many minutes for your hockey team in, you know, this year? And the Bruins obviously felt like they were going to be better served either this year or long term by going with some of their younger guys and giving them more minutes. And Chara still wants to play. The most important thing is he wants to play, and he wants to play more than what presumably the Bruins and maybe some other teams are willing to say, you know, we'd love to have you here for 15 minutes a night. And it's not enough for him.
As Fluto Schenzauer wrote about Zdeno Chara, going back to last week, he said, several months ago, the Bruins offered Zdeno Chara a contract for the 2020-21 season. The money, whatever sum it was, did not bother Chara. The responsibilities expected of the deal were another matter. A spot in the lineup was not guaranteed. To say nothing of the 21 minutes of ice time Chara averaged per game in 2019-2020, last season.
Right.
Dressing for any of the 8 back-to-back sets remained to be seen. The Bruins would have considered their captain, in Chara's words, a reserve player. Chara didn't like how any of that sounded. So, they went to Chara and told him his role would be reduced, which is not the worst thing in the world.
No, no.
To sort of admit that and say, listen, we want you back, but it may not be in the same typical role that you're used to. But there's a huge problem with all of this, and why I keep coming back to the Bruins did not handle this well. One, you didn't do anything to upgrade yourself defensively this offseason.
Aha.
This would be an easy case to make to Zdeno Chara if you got someone better than Zdeno Chara on your roster. But instead, the offseason is losing Chara, losing Krug. They're making a very poor case to a guy who has been their captain, leader, and quite frankly, turned their entire franchise around 15 years ago when they got him. And you're telling him, yeah, we're going to reduce your playing time, reduce your role. And he's looking at it going, well, why? What have I done to deserve that? Who do you have that's better? Who do you have that you're going to replace me with? And they can't make that case. They have no ground to stand on in making that case. So they wanted to show him respect by giving him the full lay of the land, except they were making a really bad case for why it was he was going to have less playing time and less responsibility.
I mean, it's shocking the amount of time that some of these core guys have been here. You know, we talked about this a month ago with Krejci, with Bergeron, you know, Marchand, Tuukka, the amount of time that's invested with all these guys, Chara. And at some point, you do need to move on. I understand that from the Bruins' perspective, but I'm with you on this. Okay, that's all fine and dandy, but what's your plan? Okay, you're ready to move on from Tom Brady. What's your plan? You didn't have one. How'd that year work out for you? And at the price that Chara agreed to play for another team where he knows everybody in the environment here and as a protector and as a captain from a leadership standpoint, how do you not find a way to get $700,000 and make that guy stay here and make it work? That's the head-scratcher to me.
And is the team better or worse today because of Chara going to Washington?
I would say they're worse based on everything they've done in the offseason. Krug has gone, too.
They're worse.
I mean, you've got...
And I just wonder how it plays with the other veterans. Like, I wonder how it plays with Bergeron and with Krejci and with any of the Marchand, who's been here a very long time now. I mean, how does this play with those guys when they look at how Zdeno Chara was treated on the way out the door after the career that he just put in here and the time and everything that he meant to the team beyond just what he meant on the ice? Like, whoa.
Yeah, and that's different. Holy if another crap. Team swoops in and pays him a ton and is like, you know what? I still want to play. I know I can play, but like the amount of money I'm going to make with this team, I'm going to go there. Like he wants to go and do the grind and ride the bike and get in shape and, you know, be this, phenomenally fit man at the, age of 42, 43. And I'm going to do it for $700,000 a year and go play elsewhere. It just, it's, something stinks to this.
See, I want to be fair about this too, and I want to put some of this on Chara and say, look, he's not willing to take a reduction in minutes, even if the team decides that's what the best thing is for the team. But if you're going to have Chara at all, I've had it drilled into my head that Chara is the type of guy who needs to play, that the time off for veteran players, especially Chara and guys of his age, doesn't do him any good. Right? You know, a reduction in minutes is actually detrimental to how he plays and the rhythms of the game and the way his game is. So I don't even know that would have made sense to bring him back and to use him as a reserve and only play him sporadically.
Well, how about you bring him back and you play him until he doesn't deserve the playing time?
Wear him down.
Is someone else going to earn those minutes? Then let them earn the minutes. You know, Zdeno Chara is someone who I think could see it with his own eyes. If you've got a young player, any of the young guys that they want to have more playing time for, if they earn it, put them on the ice. Just putting them on the ice for the sake of their young players, and we want to see what they have. What is that? That's where I think it went south. Is just, we have young players. We want to develop them and see what we've got.
Yeah, I can't wrap my head around that. Chara gone is makes this team better.
It doesn't.
And
you don't have to.
And in addition to Krug being gone, I did not like what happened to this team defensively a few years ago. I don't like where it's at right now.
And so if Chara can't come back, how are we supposed to believe that they are, in fact, still holding the same expectations for this team as they did a year ago or 2 years ago? Is this a cup-contending team?
They're not behaving like a cup contending team right now.
No.
They're behaving like a team that is, you know, if not into a full-on rebuild, some retooling going on right now, and they may have to take a step back in the process in order to do it.
Yeah, by the way, the clock is ticking because all your guys on your roster are getting older.
Sure.
Yeah.
And you're sort of at the end, the tail end of this, and now what?
Yeah.
It's going to be you going to be a nice team? Are they going to be a nice team?
Oh, man.
That's
nice
the other team.
Nice team. Nice team, Bruins. You got a nice team there. Yeah, they'll probably be a good playoff team. Sure. Yeah, why not? Nice team. You didn't get better. They're not a better team than they were last season. And I think there are more questions now about Tuukka Rask than ever before. So, way to go. I don't know how anyone could look at that and say, "Oh, that was handled well. That was good job. Yeah, you handled that well. Good, great work. Way to go, Bruins." And by the way, you're right. I don't think Chara did them any favors with his Instagram post, because if you read the quotes in the Instagram post before you then see his quotes when he spoke to the media and his agent's quotes in the 24 hours following him signing with the Caps, he pretty much pinned it on the Bruins in that post. Yeah. He made it sound like the Bruins told him they weren't interested. And I'm not sure that was totally the case. Here was the quote in his Instagram post. He said, "The Bruins have informed me they plan to move forward with their many younger and talented players, and I respect their decision." Then later came that they negotiated in good faith, all that stuff. But on the surface, at the very beginning, it was, "They told me I was out." And then Sweeney said, "It's very sad. It's an unrewarding aspect of the job to see a player like that choose to leave." And I thought that was probably not entirely fair either. But I can tell you what, I put it into a Twitter poll. Zoe, I know you love a Twitter poll.
I love that. I think I voted.
And I said, who do you believe? Those two comments on day one of this. Who do you believe? 92% of the 4,200-plus votes said they believe Chara and not Sweeney.
It's team captain. What has that guy ever done to twist your beliefs in anything else? Seems like a straight shooter. You know, off the cuff. Why would he give you any other instance to think elsewhere or otherwise? No, you believe Chara.
Coming up next, we've got Read and React. You don't want to miss it.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
It drives you crazy.
Zolak and Bertrand get into it.
Everybody's in on it.
In the middle of the day.
I feel like I've been ranting about this for 10 years.
And now, you can get Zolak and Bertrand on the radio.com app.
It's time to rage.
That sounds highly optimistic. I'll beat up until you're breaking up.
There's.
And react.
A.
B.
Yeah. See.
With Zolak and Bertrand.
That's wild.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, first read and react to the new year.
Good. Excellent.
Read everything. Okay, good.
Read and react. Here we go, boys.
Read.
Like every girl in history, you bang.
React.
You bang.
You bang.
Well, today is the day. Black Monday in the NFL. Adam Gase fired last night. Doug Marrone let go today. Anthony Lynn let go today. Marrone.
Oh, no way.
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Oh, you didn't
hear? Should have been
canned. Oh, yeah. Doug Marrone talked about how he found out he was going to be fired. What did he have to say about this?
Ian Rappaport wound up texting me the other day before he broke the story with his sources. And I'll tell you what, I have a great amount of respect for that. I really do. In other words, he was able to get that to me so I can prep my family, you know, my children. So, you know, they don't have to, you know, hear it from their friends or anything like that. And I think that, you know, that's something I'll always appreciate.
Oh. What? You appreciate a reporter calling you?
Yeah.
Instead of the team that employed you?
I think that's sort of his point, isn't it, so? Like, isn't that sort of a backhanded shot? It's a backhanded thing. Like, you know, I really, really want to thank Ian Rappaport.
Yeah.
What he's saying is, F you, Jacksonville, for not telling me yourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you
I guess so.
You talk to the reporter, but you won't tell me.
Yeah.
So I just want to really thank the reporter for telling me so I could tell my kids and my family so that they knew that we were about to be moving.
Well,
it's like when that's when Bledsoe called me when I was with the Jets. He's like, "What's going on down there? They're cutting you, huh?" I'm like, what? He goes, "Yeah, they just traded for Rick Meyer." I'm like, oh, that wasn't announced till the day after they cut me. I had to play a game that night. It was the night of a preseason game.
But if Doug Marrone's chief concern is like prepping his family for the possibility, he should have been prepping them for the last 2 months. They're like, just so you know, this is probably going to be it. You understand? You're going
to, of course.
I mean, that what this the like the kids haven't heard anything yet.
Yeah.
Like,
what was he there 4 years? I think he was there 4 years.
I was blindsided by this. You're firing me? Oh yeah, of course we are.
What I find,
think?
What I find funny is I think Shad Khan has control over the roster, final say, and whoever the next GM is going to understand that Shad Khan will still retain that control over the roster, which is interesting.
Yeah. Well, good luck.
Another owner. Yeah. Got to dabble in football.
Reed.
You have a lot of memories, huh? At the coffee shop. Cliff and Rob's coffee shop.
React.
Oh, Rick.
What a good shop that was.
Eagles lost to Washington 2014 last night. So the Washington football team moves on. Doug Peterson pulled Jalen Hurts for Nate Sudfeld.
Yep.
Which prompted some people to say that he was tanking the game. How dare they? How dare they? Well, here's Doug Peterson after the game.
Yes, I was coaching to win. Yes, that was my decision solely. Nate has obviously been here for 4 years. He deserved an opportunity to get some snaps. And if there's anything out there that thinks that I was not trying to win the game, Ertz is out there, Brandon Graham's out there, Darius Slay's out there. You know, all our top guys are still on the field at the end. So, We were going to win the game.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense. Is that
defensive players. Yeah.
His explanation is complete garbage.
Did you see Jason Kelce miss the block to get Sudfeld killed? He was on a scan protection in the middle, and he just, whoops, let that guy go. And whoops, I let that guy go.
Well,
and then they showed him on a bench just hanging his head.
Like, you swap out your starting quarterback just at random, and that's trying to say that that's trying to win the game? Yeah. Don't be a jackass.
Well, told the team that.
What does Jalen Hurts say about being benched?
Were you disappointed at being pulled in the fourth quarter?
As a competitor, I play to win. You got to trust coach with that.
That's him avoiding it because it's not his problem. It's his coach's problem.
Yes.
An idiot.
Yeah.
I do have zero interest, though, in the outrage that the Giants and Giants fans have. Like, get lost.
They don't owe you anything.
Crap.
Right.
You're a 6-win team. Get lost. Win more games next time.
Yeah. Breed.
A club Mexican style. We put it on the menu as a Club Mex. Next year, we called it a wrap.
React.
All of our Christmas cameos. The Dolphins were blown out by the Bills 56-26. Tua, 361 yards passing. But he also threw those pesky three interceptions. So, Brian Flores, what do you have to say about your quarterback?
Well, I'm not going to sit here and put it on one player. It's a team effort. We got to block them better. We got to catch the football. We got to tackle better. We got to do a better job in the kicking game. There's a lot of things, and that includes Tua. He's got to play better as well. So, but everyone's part of that. Look, he's played well over the course of the season, and we as a team have played well. We didn't have it today.
Very Patriot-like. Yeah.
You didn't have it today, and you also didn't have Ryan Fitzpatrick either, who you wouldn't have started, but
you
could have used.
Yeah.
But you would have pulled Tua and put Fitzpatrick in.
Oh, yeah.
And best wishes to Ryan Fitzpatrick dealing with COVID. But that's where the real problem was. You didn't have your guy.
Yep.
You didn't have the guy you actually needed.
Reed.
Orlando, Zango, bum.
React.
We got to do that. We got to do that once a month. Once a month. Music segment once a month.
It's so good.
Bucks beat the Falcons 44-27 yesterday. Mike Evans hurt his knee during the win. Bruce Arians talking about the injury.
It meant the world for him to get that record and then to have an easy touchdown. And, you know, the turf was really slick in the end zones. And just a freaky thing. Knock on wood. We don't think there's any serious damage. We'll know more in the next 24 hours.
Oh.
Well, the good news for them is, number one, first of all, he's right. The turf was pretty wet for him to slide the way he did. Good news for them is they get Washington football team. And they've got plenty of talent if they can't have Mike Evans this week.
Yeah.
I think they should be okay. And by the
They'll
way, back to the Giants and the Eagles and all that stuff for a second.
Yeah.
The Giants fans should be thanking the Eagles for tanking that game and not putting them right. Why do you want to go to the postseason and get embarrassed? Which is exactly what's going to happen.
Better pick. They
matched up pretty well with Tampa Bay. They took Tampa Bay to the end. They had that 2-point conversion, which they botched. Call was botched.
So you
Giants think they would have had a shot against Tampa.
Do you think the Giants might have a shot against him for a second time, though?
No, not now. Okay. They're ramping up.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
You see, AB had 11 catches. Three of them were those shovel passes to get him to 45. And I just get a chuckle out of that because he has 13 more catches than N'Keal Harry. And he didn't play until week 10. Breed and react.
N'Keal Harry stinks. That's been established.
just reiterating it.
I know.
Breed.
You know what I found out this week? A lot of people order Chinese food for New Year's.
React.
Which I didn't do.
No. Zoe and I talked about that at length. I'm sure you had the same conversation with Zoe over the holidays about this too, Beetle.
Just briefly.
Oh.
Just briefly. I think you were on the text.
We talked about it.
I told you that my father-in-law was like incensed by it. Like, why? Like, how did he not know? How did he not know this? I'm like, I don't know. Listen,
Where's he live, Quincy?
I don't care.
It's your father-in-law live in Quincy.
How did the guy not know that Chinese food on New Year's is a big deal? I'm like, I don't know. I don't have to answer for this crap.
Right.
This was the first year in a long time we didn't get Chinese food on Christmas night for Christmas dinner.
Nice.
That was our thing. We'd make food during the day, but then we would have, you know, we would order out on Christmas night, but not this year.
Artie and I came to agreement to blame our parents because, like, where we were raised, like, we didn't have good Chinese food around.
No, they like, never had always, Chinese food.
One pizza shop was by us. That was it. Yeah. I can't even tell you where there was a Chinese restaurant in Western PA.
Oh.
Close to us.
Boston, New York, places like that with a lot of Chinese restaurants.
I love Chinese food.
New Year's. Oh,
love it.
The best. All right.
Give me
let's
some beef and broccoli.
Let's get back at it here. We have plenty more to come today. Much of the Patriots season in review. Sounds of Sunday coming up an hour from now. And we'll get to your calls as well. Don't go anywhere.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times. Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's home for sports.
I don't know if you know this, but you have 11 turnovers this year, more than any player has had under Bill since he came to New England. That's 20 years. Does that mean anything to you? And if so, what does that mean?
That don't mean nothing to me. It don't mean to be honest with you.
All right, appreciate you.
That was a fabulous answer after the game yesterday. J.C. Jackson being told about all his turnovers and interceptions. Yeah, that don't mean bleep.
That don't mean nothing to me. It don't mean to be honest with you.
Maryland.
All right, appreciate you.
All right. Thanks a lot, JC. That's a great answer. Good for him. I really enjoyed that. There were some positives yesterday outside of the win itself. Obviously, the draft position was hurt by the win. But I enjoyed listening to Cam post-game. I enjoyed the JC Jackson post-game. I don't know. It's just weird when you get to this point and you're a bad team. But I like that answer. I did.
Joe, you want to hear him a little later on?
Yeah. You got more of this? Please.
I mean, but that's a hell of a season to have 9 picks. I just got to continue to grow and get better.
Doesn't mean anything, but that's a hell of a season.
I thought it didn't mean nothing. That's a hell of a year for a guy.
You know what that answer is? Which I like.
I don't mean nothing to me. I don't mean
doesn't mean anything unless you win.
I mean, he cares about that's a hell of a season to have 9 picks.
He cares about winning, right? But he also wants to get paid.
Which, okay,
there's no problem in him saying that's a great year statistically, but it doesn't mean anything.
So when you're the number two corner that plays opposite a number one lockdown guy like Stephon Gilmore, you get a lot of balls thrown your way because people avoid Gilmore.
Sure.
And I thought this last night when I was watching the end of the Titans game. Brandon Cooks is going deep, and they took a shot downfield. Sean Watson took a shot down the end zone, and Malcolm Butler mistimes the jump again. Like, Malcolm's short, so he didn't have the ability to play the ball real well in space. JC knows how to play the ball in space, which is pretty impressive for a corner. Because most corners, like, you know, they'll go off the hands, but he has great ball skills with his hands. He knows how to play the football. But most of those picks were just like balloon balls thrown to him this year, where it just landed right in his chest, and all he had to do was catch it and make the play. But there were a couple that he made, but I think like 60% of them were thrown right to him. Just like, oh, I misread this. I'm just going to lob it out there and throw it to
him. Yeah, I would agree with that. But, you know, he's a good player.
Still catch it, right.
He's a good player. He's a good corner. I think he sometimes gets a little ahead of himself.
Different guys in one.
We haven't done this show, or you have, Zoe, but Hardy and I and the whole crew here, since he was talking smack to Stephon Diggs, and then Stephon Diggs schooled him.
Yeah.
You're like, come on. Stephon Diggs is a better NFL player than you are right now. That might change. You might continue to get better and be a better corner than Diggs is a receiver, but relax, kid. You know? Like, don't get ahead of yourself.
I like the swagger, though.
I do, too. You got to have it. You got to have it at that position.
Love it. He reminds me of Ellis Hobbs a little bit. You know? Hobbs really wasn't a one. He's kind of the other guy, but He would talk smack, make plays.
I think he's better than Ellis Hobbs.
Oh, he's better than Ellis Hobbs. Yeah. But I'm saying the persona, like the attitude, reminds me of Ellis. That's all. He's a better player than Ellis.
And do we have one more?
I do give him credit for, you know, making the catches when the balls are thrown to him. I mean, that's a big part of it. We look at all the time about, you know, near interceptions, and that's a huge missed opportunity when a corner or a safety has a ball hit him in the hands and they don't end up with the football and a change
of
possession.
Yeah, like the McCourties. Like the when the ball hits them in the hands from time to time, and you Jesus. Say, oh, that's why they're defensive backs, not receivers, those guys.
Okay, so, you know, pick a name, pick a player. I'll give.
I didn't narrow it down to one McCourty. I said both.
Well, that softens the blow considerably.
Well, that's going to go over real well.
No, you give them credit where it's due. It's like, okay, the ball was thrown to you. Good, you caught it. If you were to ask me name like the highlight reel interceptions that J.C. Jackson had this season, I'd be hard pressed to tell you all about them. Like, it's like you said, so a lot of them, they were bad throws. They were either underthrown or he was in the right spot. The ball was thrown to a spot where it shouldn't have been because a guy from the wrong team was there. But sure, give him credit for coming down with those catches. I'm glad he said it doesn't mean anything. And yes, he still wants to get paid. I don't think he's elite yet. I don't think you can consider him that. But somebody will think of him that way. There are teams out there who start thinking about J.C. Jackson as the type of player that deserves big money, like right now.
Oh, he'll be back, though. He's restricted, so they can throw a tender on him.
Yep.
And then he'll be back, and they'll pay him the tender next year.
Yep.
Patriots have all the leverage in that one. I know a lot of people have talked about the impending free agency for him, but I expect he's back here next season. So
he could. They need him.
But he wants to get paid. This might be the right. This would be the right time to extend him and not push it to the very end. We'll see what happens with Gilmore. We'll see what happens with the Patriots free agent list, which we can get to in the upcoming hour, including your calls and resetting the day, reviewing the Patriots season. Where did it all go wrong? We'll continue with that coming up right after these headlines. No commercial.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop, flop, flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It was good to end a disappointing season on a positive note, but it still isn't certainly not where we wanted to be here at the end of the year. But today was today, and all we could do is control today. And so, again, I appreciate, you know, all the players and the way the team performed. Bud Cam's given us a lot of leadership all day. He certainly gave it to us today. You know, first run, and getting the ball in the end zone. So that was just part of the leadership that he's given us, you know, all year, especially with, you know, Andrews out and, you know, being a little shorthanded there offensively.
Bill Belichick finishes the year with his team 7.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop, flop, flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It was good to end a disappointing season on a positive note, but it still isn't certainly not where we wanted to be here at the end of the year. But today was today, and all we could do is control today. And so, again, I appreciate, you know, all the players and the way the team performed. Bud Cam's given us a lot of leadership all day. He certainly gave it to us today, you know, first run, and, you know, getting the ball in the end zone. So that was just part of the leadership that he's given us, you know, all year, especially with, you know, Andrews out and, you know, being a little little shorthanded there offensively.
Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick finishes the year with his team 7-9. And a lot of us thought they'd be better than what they were. Thought it would look better at the very least. Thought they could potentially be as much as a 9 or 10 win team. I know there are some people who shall remain unnamed that thought, you know, Brian Hoyer could give you 10 wins with a Bill Belichick coach team. Because Bill Belichick is just that good at his job. What's Bill get for a grade this year? How do you think Bill did? You could count everything you want to count in that. But how would you grade out Bill Belichick, Zoe, on the year?
Well, the part of the problem is is part of the problem? He's final say on roster. So, you know, he's head GM. So these are his players he picked and rolled in a season with. C plus? What would you give him? Probably a C plus?
I'd give him a C is what I would do. And it wasn't a good year, not just on the roster front.
What if you play Hoyer the rest of the way? You were able to function at least as a passing offense. Would that have mattered? Would you have been as bad as you were in that, you know, that Denver game?
I don't really think that would have helped. I don't think it would have helped. But I also
you get to take into account everything, Beetle.
Yeah, everything you have to take into it.
Yep.
We're probably better just doing the coaching than we are everything. Because, I mean, at least, you know, the roster stuff we could talk about, we could sort of separate it out, I guess. But just, how about his head coach then? What would you give him as head coach? I'd give him the C.
I'd give him a straight C. It was very, very average. I mean, the quarterback thing just sticks with me. You had a guy who demonstrated multiple times, and by Zell's assessment, you say 4 or 5 times, I say 2 or 3 times. There was an obvious opportunity to make a change at quarterback, and you didn't do it. And the only explanation we ever got was Cam's our quarterback. I need a little bit more than that if you want me to, you know, give you a more informed grade. So the best I can give you is average. So, you know, look, I understand around here it might seem like you fell well below average. 7-9 is an average year for a football team. The expectations are raised around here, obviously,
right.
But 7-9, okay, with a really, you know, questionable level of talent at the quarterback position, you put together a 7-9 season.
Which is sad, which makes you think the other way, though, that
it might
if
be
you
better
handled
than
that position better, you probably could have been a 9-win team at least.
Right, but you didn't handle that situation better. Even forget about the personnel, forget about the GM part of it, forget just – as a head coach, you didn't make a change at quarterback at any point. I can't give you better than a C.
Yeah.
After that.
And I go back to the comparisons of Brady a year ago when they were 4-9. Last 9 games, they went 4-5, and the numbers are comparable to Cam. You know, Bert has pounded this on the pregame and being on with us, but when you watched it, that was an offense that looked like it could function a hell of a lot more than this one that we watched this year. It's not comparable from the eye test. Numbers are different. We could skew numbers and take games and look at them and compare them. And, you know, we do this in all sports. You tell me what you watched. Did they get better or did they regress? They regressed offensively.
They didn't get better. They did not get better as the season went on. That didn't happen. And I know that it was a short off season, but by the time you get to the second half of the season, you know, you're all sort of on level playing field, too. Let's not forget that.
No,
but
there
are also really horrible losses in here. The loss to Denver was a horrible loss where the team did not look prepared. The game against the 49ers, where they physically, from the outset, got
their
ass kicked
in that game.
I mean, just smoked. They weren't ready to play. And those were things. And then there were things like personnel groupings, too many men on the field, too few men on the field, mistakes that we mock other teams for and have mocked for
years.
Why
we have a segment on Mondays? We have a segment built in our show on Mondays of football.
Why the other team was stupid. Why they can't avoid a bad hands-to-the-face penalty in a key spot. Why they can't avoid, you know, a jumping offside, bad false start penalties, too many men on the field, guys can't figure out who's supposed to be out there on a punt. Like, just stupid stuff that you looked at and said, man, these are not things that typically happen with a Bill Belichick team. And I think a big part of it is a lot of new faces, a lot of younger players, like, not a great offseason and a new quarterback. And, yeah, there's all those pieces, but Bill wasn't able to overcome any of that, which is something I think we all would have expected he would have been able to overcome. So that is a problem. I don't think he had a very good year coaching the team. Even roster stuff aside, like the roster stuff and management was not good. Isaiah Ford, they trade for the guy. They can't find a way to put him on the field. And then they end up letting him go. He goes back to the Dolphins, and then he's catching passes against Bill and his team. Like, what happened there?
How's Isaiah Ford and Moncrief not better than N'Keal Harry as far as to be able to get on the field?
Exactly.
I can't understand that.
Exactly. And why is it that N'Keal Harry's not getting better?
Well, you know what? Because you picked him in the first round.
So, I don't know. I look at it and say, not a good year. Not a good year. But does it at all change your mind about who should be the coach of the team or should be in charge? Because for me, that doesn't even come into play. You know, some people have raised this issue. Like, oh, you know, I saw Volan over the weekend writing about a lot of these issues, saying, you know, in Bill we trust. Is that still a thing? Yes, still a thing. Still should be a thing. The only way the Patriots get out of being a 7-9 team and get back to being what they're supposed to be is with Bill Belichick running the show.
Right.
Bill running it all, being the GM, picking the players, finding the next quarterback, and yes, coaching the team on Sundays. That's how they get out of this space that they are in right now with Bill. So just because you say Bill didn't have a good year doesn't mean at all that anyone should be thinking that Bill is not the right guy to be the coach of this team. Because that to me is crazy talk. Insanity. You don't have to give him a pass, but you can also at the same time say, he's still the right guy.
I think he's the right guy to fix it. He's the right guy to fix it. Yeah. Now, given the fact that he could be able to do one-on-one meetings and go after guys and talk to recruits and, you know, free agency gets back to normal, I was thinking if we're going to have a COVID spring again, you're going to be in the same position. Because I don't think that fits their style and the way they coach the football team. They need to be hands-on. They need to have workouts. They need OTAs. This team needs it more than anybody. I mean, even Cam talked about it.
Yeah, but don't you think that will happen this year?
I hope.
I'm not saying that COVID's any better. I'm just saying that from where we were a year ago, we were in a full-blown shutdown.
Yeah, we got the football season in. Football season completed.
Right. Yeah. But things are not completely shut down now. That's not where we're at. Like, the season happened. Practices happened. Games happened. They let guys go out onto the field and do their job. I imagine that will be the case this spring, that OTAs will happen. They might look different, and the meetings will probably continue to look different and be on WebEx and Zoom, as I know you've talked to Bill Belichick about all year long. So you've been talking to those guys about it all season.
Terrible.
Not ideal.
Not ideal. No, not what you're used to. Not the way you're trained. No.
I know that you've brought up Dante Scarnecchia before.
Yeah.
Like, Scar said he wouldn't have been able to do this.
Well, not have
been able
to coach
this way.
It's a guy that has a flip phone.
He's a flip phone guy.
But I need to have my hands on a guy, and I need to scream at him. That's what I need.
Yeah. So maybe it hurts them, but the whole league's dealing with it.
But the teams that have had success are the ones already established. Like, Buffalo's been treading this way for 4 years, and now that's their time. They got a veteran team. I talked to one of their coaches about it. He goes, thank God we got a veteran defense because we wouldn't be able to do it. All the coaches think the same thing. Kansas City, they're just reloaded. You know, same team. Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh, same guys.
617-779-0985. Smith in the car. Go ahead, Smith.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you made the point earlier about, the Redskins, I mean, the Eagles coach, you know, doing a disservice and trying to tank. When you think about it, isn't Bill Belichick yesterday doing the same disservice on the other end? I mean, he's basically getting a meaningless seventh win. He's keeping a dead Jared Stidham on the roster for next year because we still don't know how that guy's going to perform as a starter. And how is that helping the Patriots? I'm even thinking Belichick may be eyeing he's going to exit New England, right? Because he wants his wins, and he doesn't see this team, I don't think, long-term as helping him get to Don Shula. I think he's going to be looking for, you know, another team, another organization that has that ready-made franchise quarterback, because I think he knows he's not a great selector for talent. And I think
so. Of the four openings or five openings out there, where would he move to?
Where's he going?
Where that's all in place.
Okay, so let's just He said, for argument's sakes, what about the Jets? What if they get, you know, the number
okay.
two?
All right, Smith. That's where we hit
the
eject button.
Bill Belichick and the Jets.
That's where we say goodbye.
I watched him walk out. Who was hurt? Who the hell got hurt? Damir Bird.
The Jets.
Bill came out, and he did everything he could to keep his hands in his pocket to check Bird, but he had to walk towards the Jet huddle. He went all the way in a big loop around because he didn't want to make eye contact with one Jet.
There may not be anything on the face of this planet that Bill Belichick hates more than the New York Jets.
I think he'd have a better shot coaching a KP Rentham high school team than he would the New York Jets.
He'd rather coach club lacrosse teams than coach the New York Jets.
Yes, totally.
If you're going to entertain it, Houston's the team.
Thank you.
It's not something worth entertaining, but if you're going to entertain it, Houston's the choice.
I'm not entertaining it. And here's part of the problem for
you. That is pretty good, Jim. Go ahead.
What?
Houston.
Clip that, please.
Good job, Jim. Job, Jim.
That's pretty good, Jim. Good job, Jim. Thank you.
Thanks, though.
Well, so isn't the record sort of hollow if he leaves New England?
Yeah, it's got to be done here.
Already know. Listen, the doubters of Bill Belichick are already coming out. They're already out in full force. The ones that don't like Bill are already starting to write. Borges, I saw Borges.
Borges can't stand Bill.
Right, but that's who he is. He's in that camp of the guys who don't buy into the Belichick history and aura and success. They just don't buy in. They think, you know, Belichick is a product of Tom Brady. That crew exists. I'm not in that crew.
Shaughnessy has ripped Bill, but he even came to his defense.
Actually, why don't we get to that? We'll get to that.
Okay.
The defense of Bill from Shaughnessy and Patriots free agents. Who has to stay? All that's coming up.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.